You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation, and today I'm going to pass the microphone over to my good friend, my colleague, Jen Overstreet. Jen, take it away.
Thanks, Bill. I'm really excited to be here today with Shaquayla Mims, Manager of Student Initiatives for the NRF Foundation, and our very own Catherine Cullen, who's the Director of Retail and Consumer Insights for NRF. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, Jen.
It's great having you on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, very happy to be here.
So, Catherine, you are the Director of Consumer Insights for NRF. Tell me about what that means. What do you do?
That's a great question, Jen. To be honest, I'm still figuring it out a little.
Aren't we all?
But NRF, about a year ago, decided to launch some new initiatives to really examine, you know, what's driving changes in the industry from the consumer perspective. Because we all know this is a really vibrant industry. It's evolving. A lot of change is happening. And a lot of that change is being driven by customers. So today, more than ever, it's critical for brands and retailers to be, if they're going to be successful in retail, to understand their customers. That's always been a core part, but it's more important today than ever. And we felt that NRF really had a role to play in talking about what consumers want, how they're driving changes in the industry, whether it's, you know, how quickly they want to receive packages, to how they want to shop, to the role of technology. All of that has a consumer impact. And so my job is to look at consumer data. We've launched a number of new initiatives this past year. You can find all of them on NRF.com under the consumer view page. And we launched an exciting quarterly new survey to measure, you know, what consumers value, what's really driving them every season to buy, what gets them excited, and what builds their loyalty.
You know, I was trying to imagine that when you weren't at NRF, you've only been at NRF for a year.
That's correct.
And I could not even remember. I was like, what did we do before Catherine? Because every time I have a question about a consumer, something the consumer is doing, what trends are, you're the person I go to.
Well, that's great to hear. And hopefully for those listening, you know, NRF will be one of the places they go to learn about the consumers as well. But I think it's, you know, one of the great things about talking about customers is that we're all, at the end of the day, consumers. We all buy things. And so we really relate to the customer point of view. And that's one thing I really love about my job.
So what are some things that you're seeing? What are consumers expecting out of their store experience now in 2018?
Ooh, that's a big topic. But thanks, Shaquayla. You know, there are a lot of things driving the store experience. We've seen this really big shift in why people visit the store. So if you think back to, I mean, I'm a little older than some people in this room. But if we think back to...
They're talking about Shaquayla.
Yes.
She's not talking about me.
If we think...
Proud millennial, yes.
If I think back to how I used to shop, I would go into the store with sort of a general idea of what I wanted. I would browse, you know, I'd compare prices on the shelf wall. Maybe I'd go to another store.
You go to a mall.
I go to a mall, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I spent a lot of time at the mall. And people watching, too.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, today... we don't do that as much anymore. Mm-hmm. People still go to the store to browse, but most of the time they're going to buy something specific. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to buy something specific, you're looking for a different type of experience. You want to find what you're looking for mm-hmm. quickly. You want to find it easily. You want to get in and out, you know, because you've already done that research. You know what you're looking for. So I think that's the first thing about store experience. It's got to be frictionless. Retailers are really investing in a lot of technology and a lot of... you know, new innovations to make it easier for you while you're in the store.
That's so true. I've noticed both in store and just from reading, you know, there are retailers like Rebecca Minkoff, who, you know, really has been a pioneer of technology with incorporating the smart mirrors into the store. And I know they're getting ready for their second iteration of that, or the second version of that smart mirror. And even stores like Story, you know, incorporating more food and entertainment. into the store, so it's more of an experience. Can you talk a little bit about that? And is that a growing trend? Can we expect to see more retailers leaning towards food and entertainment to draw people to their stores? And I know technology is a big push for them as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a growing area. And I think you touched on a couple of themes. You know, the innovations Rebecca Minkoff has been implementing in the store, those really speak to kind of convenience and removing that friction from the mm-hmm. shopping experience. And she has done a lot of really amazing things. But it's not just, you know, limited to Rebecca Minkoff in New York. We see retailers all across the country rolling out innovations. It might not be a smart mirror, but it might be an app to help you navigate the store. It might be a way to look up inventory in the store so that when you go, you can find what you're looking for. And I think we're going to continue to see big pushes in those areas. But the other thing you touched on that I think is a really fun trend right now is the store as entertainment. And whether that's food, whether that's creating sort of communal spaces where they're shopping and living and eating, or whether it's having special events like a store party or a holiday party, those kinds of things, we've seen a lot more focus on them. And I think it speaks to really focusing on what people enjoy about shopping. You know, they enjoy getting out there. They enjoy seeing products. They enjoy touching and feeling it. And from what we've seen, our data shows that most customers are interested in attending some sort of special event or experience put on by a retailer. And
that's really interesting.
Is that a certain age demographic or a certain segment of the population, or is that just generally across the board?
In general, across the board, people are interested, but millennials are especially interested. Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, they, and millennials and to some extent Gen Z as well. You know, they're looking for that experience with the retailer brand.
And just in case people don't know, because a lot of people have heard the word millennial, but when we say millennial, who are we talking about? And Gen Z, who are we talking about?
That's a great question. And I refer to these brackets quite a bit, mostly because I keep wanting to check that I'm actually a millennial. but when we talk about millennials, we talk about people who today are between the ages of 23 and 36. And for Gen Z, so they were generally born in the 1980s to, you know, mid-1990s. And for Gen Z, it's folks who are born in the mid-1990s, you know, on. So they're still mostly under the age of 18, but we are starting to see them enter, you know, college and the workforce and enter the 18 to 22-year-old bracket.
And so what distinguishes these group of kids, I'm going to call them, I guess, what stands out to you about the research you've done lately about Gen Z? What makes them really different than the millennials?
As far as what they're expecting for the store experience? Mm-hmm.
Well, we see them, a couple of things that are different about them. One, they love going to the store. So
really?
We don't know yet if that's because a lot of these Gen Zers might not be old enough to own a credit card, so they might not be able to shop as much online.
Mm-hmm. But that makes sense.
But they tend to say that they enjoy going to the store, and it's more of a social experience for them. And you know, I talked about how we're seeing consumers shift towards, you know, going into stores to buy something specific. Gen Zers aren't like that. They still like to go and browse. So, you know, maybe
they've
they're
got
like
more time.
They
yeah,
do
that's
have
true.
More time. Well, I don't know. These kids are as you said, kids are highly connected. They are, you know, entrepreneurial. They're on their phones all the time. They're, you know, very driven. So maybe they do technically have more time because they don't have jobs, but they face the same pressures we all do. And we do see that. So they like to browse. They consider themselves to be very loyal, and they care, you know, very much about their brand experience. But the thing I love about them is they want to be part of the experience. So, and that's a big difference we're seeing from millennials. Millennials like brands to cater to them. So they want to walk into a store and
that's
feel
right.
special.
If I'm
I know.
Spending my money. What do you have in store for me?
And there's a lot of retailers that have done a great job catering
to us.
Well,
and just overall, millennials are, or would you say that this is more true or false, but millennials are very conscious of their spending. They put a lot of thought into what they want to buy and the purchases that they make, and even down to things like how they affect the environment, or how it's going to affect their overall health and well-being. So could that be a little bit part of it as well?
I definitely think so. Millennials have faced a lot of financial constraints, and they do think very carefully about their purchases and where they are in life, to your point. And they want the things that they purchase to be a reflection of themselves and their value systems. Versus Gen Z feels a little bit more that they should be able to tell brands what they want. So they want to be part of the creation process.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have any of you seen some good examples of brands being part of the creation process?
I didn't know I would get quizzed.
Oh, sorry.
Who's interviewing you here?
I mean, I was going to say, I think some brands that have done a good job are Nike, in terms of being part of getting consumers involved in personalization and creation. Mm. But I think there's some examples. I believe like Nintendo and Lego have done this a lot as well.
Cool. I will say that I've noticed that even for my personal shopping habits, I am all about customer feedback, and because I feel like the best way to make an experience better or to make a product better is to listen to your customers. And so I have even found myself, as the more as I shop now or as I age as a millennial, I'm more inclined to tell brands that I like, this is what I don't like, or this is what I would love to see more of, in the hopes that, there is this whole, there is this growing transparency going on between brands and their consumers, where they can more so have conversations and give feedback, and, brands will listen. And I guess that makes me a little bit more of a Gen Z-er, but I do appreciate being able to, reach out to brands on social, or even customer, surveys and feedback, and just tell them like, hey, I think your product would be better if you did this, or I would like to see, this in your app, or it would make it mm-hmm. things so much easier, if I could pick up my packages this way and that sort of thing. Speaking of picking up packages, what's going on with shipping and supply chain? What are consumers expecting from those areas of the business?
Ooh, as anyone at NRF knows, shipping and fulfillment is one of my favorite topics.
Oh, I could
talk about it ad nauseum, but I'll try not to bore you guys. I think this is really timely, as we're recording this, we're a little bit at the start of the year coming out of the holiday season. And I'm sure we've all ordered stuff online in the past few months and dealt with, the challenges sometimes of getting things. But, one of the things that's really interesting is that, free shipping is the status quo today. It's the number one thing people will list as a reason to back out of a purchase.
Yes.
So if you're if you're not offering free shipping, customers
notice. I don't
want that
$8 surprise.
I will totally bail. End,
I will too. Abandon at checkout. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's like an added, you have in your mind what you want to buy, what you want to purchase, and then you get to that last screen.
I mean, at least fake it. Yeah. At least tell me it's free and bake it in,
Like it's going to take me six extra dollars to get that?
Yeah, no, exactly. And customers don't want that. And it doesn't matter how large their order is. So even if it's something that's under $50, people don't want to pay for shipping.
Especially if it's under $50. Especially if it's under $50.
Yeah, I get it. It's like a piece of furniture.
Right.
Sure.
But what we're starting to see, and this really has come out of the last couple of months, is sort of that move to, is it going to be fast free shipping? So over the holidays, we saw a lot of retailers, not just Amazon, but Best Buy, Target, Everlane, for those of you who like like that brand, offering free 2-day shipping over the holidays, which is not necessarily their norm. And we're seeing consumers, according to our research, 4 in 10 consumers expect retailers to offer free 2-day shipping.
Yes.
So that is sort of next on the horizon. And then I think we're quickly moving to potentially to free same day shipping. A lot of retailers are investing in that and investing in
you are blowing my mind right now.
So imagine you could order something right now and have it delivered to seriously on the same day.
I will tell you, I won't mention the retailer's name. It wasn't Amazon. I over the holidays I made a purchase, and this retailer was offering a new shipping process whereby instead of having it delivered to you, you could pick it up from another retailer or another store near you in your neighborhood.
Oh, that's
and so
cool.
When I checked the shipping times and realized that if I were to have it shipped to the other store and just picked it up on my way home, that it would get to me faster than if I just had if I did regular, because I didn't want to pay for the 2 day shipping. But I didn't want to wait 5 to 6 days to get my package either. Mm-hmm. And so since they were offering this new process, it was free. And so I said, well, I'll try it this way and I'll just pick it up on my way home. Well, the package was supposed to be available for me to pick it up within two to three days. And so I was supposed to get an email that says, hey, you know, your item is being shipped to this second location. It will let you know when it's available for pickup. So I'm waiting, and I don't get an email. By the time I realized that I should have had my package by now, I still haven't gotten an email. And so I reached back out to them. And to this retailer's credit, they have excellent customer service. I want to say I emailed them, and within 30 minutes to an hour, I had an email back, and they said, hey, you know, we realized there was an issue on the back end with your shipping information. Not only have we fixed this issue and your package will be available for you tomorrow, but we're also going to give you, you know, a store credit. And I said this to say, I was like, I'm never going to use this process again. I was angry. I was like, I'm never going to use this process again. Why did I try this? I could have had my package 2 days ago. And I realized that I've become to expect 2 day shipping at least. And I think it goes a little bit to that instant gratification.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you seeing more of that with consumers too, where it's an expectation? And if a retailer doesn't have that process in place, is that something that they need to seriously consider?
Yes, it's definitely an expectation consumers have. And more and more retailers are rolling out these offerings, whether it's pickup in store or free 2 day shipping, or in some case, picking it up, from a locker at your local convenience store.
Yeah.
And all of this is about getting you your items faster. But I think as consumers, it's easy to pinpoint, I had this one bad experience, and you don't realize how much that takes from the retailer point of view and the investments that takes in their fulfillment and their operations and working with shipping and supply companies and all of that to get us something in 2 days. And the fact that we've made strides toward free 2 day shipping or just 2 day shipping in general so quickly, I think speaks to how, fast innovation in retail happens and how nimble these retailers have to be to respond to consumer demands.
That is excellently put, Catherine. Well, we are almost out of time, but before we go, we have some rapid fire questions for
dun,
you.
Dun, dun.
All you do is just answer quickly. Don't spend too much time.
Think fast.
Think fast. Just a couple words.
All righty.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
What was your first job?
Helping my sister at her coffee shop. I was a barista.
What was the last purchase you made?
A winter hat for this below this very frigid winter weather we've been having.
What was your favorite piece of research over the last year?
Ooh.
Or stat.
Oh, my favorite stat.
Yeah, what's your favorite stat?
Oh, my favorite stat is that.
the fact that you know that.
Oh, of course I know that.
I knew you know.
Oh, it's that 7 in 10 consumers who have tried buy online, pick up in store, say that it improved their shopping experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When it works. Right?
When it works.
When it works.
Yeah.
When it works.
What's your favorite retail issue to argue?
Oh,
or debate, I should
debate?
Say.
Debate? I would
has
say...
a negative connotation. Debate. Healthy debate.
Oh. I would say that, you know, we see all this news about retail struggling, and I love debating this issue. But I say, you go out to the stores over the holidays, if you look at sales growth, and we just saw that retail holiday sales grew 5.5% in year over year.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
And so I this was actually a big topic of conversation with my family. So I love talking about that.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us, Catherine, Chiquela. It's been wonderful having you as a co-host.
Always a pleasure, Jen.
And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com. And you can also find links to other episodes. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.